Could you stand up?
That was overturned in the Supreme Court of Canada, fraud charges. There is a Supreme Court case on it that's been overturned.
Now, not this section, because this one's brand new. Well, I think that this section is brand new, and it's still there, unfortunately. Now, I mean, would it be upheld? I'm not very confident that it would stand a Section 7 of the Charter challenge that on the grounds that security of the person, you can't cut off somebody from assistance for life.
Francis,
go through as much as I can, and then I'll take questions. Or else, now the second paragraph deals with, so they go sort of in severity. The first one is very severe, and it's if you're charged with a criminal offense. The second paragraph is a little bit less severe, and it is if you're convicted of an offense under this act, meaning an offense under either the disability legislation or the employment and assistance legislation, and those are offenses are listed in the acts. And they usually have to do with information given or reporting misleading or false information that you should have known, you know, that were misleading or false, or in giving the initial information. Those are all offenses. And if the person is convicted, so you have to go to court, right? It's not just that they call you and they say, you have to have been convicted. And then if you are convicted of one of those at paragraph 2, then the consequences are listed, right? You're going to have a consequence described in paragraph 5. So I'll turn to those consequences after, but the length of the consequence is listed, and it's 12 months for a first conviction, 24 months for a second conviction, and a lifetime for the third conviction. And then so that's how long your consequence is, but we're still wondering, well, okay, what's the consequence? I mean, I know I'm going to have a 12-month consequence, but what is going to be my consequence? And for that, you pretty much have to turn to, because they refer you again to the subsection 5. And in the subsection 5, they say, oh, it's going to be for the applicable period. So this is where the ministry, and I'll look at that in a minute, has come up with a whole scheme of consequences that are going to apply to you depending on the composition of your family. Now, the third thing that can happen to you is that you're not convicted of anything, nothing whatsoever. You don't go to court, you don't have a guilty plea, but you're asked to go in to see the ministry and you sign an acknowledgement. And or the ministry goes to court and they get a civil judgment that you owe them money. Those are the two other things that can happen to you. And in that case, the consequence, again, they refer you to the subsection 5, which in turn sends you to the regulations. So, well, the subsection 5 actually doesn't send you to the regulations. They just say the prescribed consequence. Prescribed is a fancy word to say go look in the regulations. So I used, my 8 years of legal training, and I thought, okay, I better go look in the regulations. And then I went, and when you get in the regulations, then you get to section, and I
35.
Yeah, the printout I have is 35, and it seems like every time I look on the internet, the section number's changed.
The plot.
Playing with my mind, and I was trying to, and every time I looked, it was, okay, 35, and then, but what I have printed out now is 35. And 36. So 35, you should cross-reference that to a criminal code offense, okay? When you look at section 15.1 of the Act, that says if you're convicted of a criminal code offense, then that's what you should cross-reference to section 35 of your regulation. If you're a single person, I think you're SOL. I mean, I think you're so screwed. If you're a person that has dependents, then that's when the Act says at section 5B, if your family unit includes one or more persons described in section 1, 2, or 3, if the minister has made a declaration, and at least one other person, the amount. Anyway, what it really means is if there's somebody else in your family unit, then you can turn to the regulations. If you're a person with a criminal code conviction of fraud, of welfare fraud, and you have more than one person in your family, Section 35 says that this is what's going to happen to you. And if you are the only person in your family unit being convicted and you have one dependent, you're cut off, you are deducted $100 a month. If you're one person convicted and you live with somebody else in your family unit, another adult, and you have no children, you're going to be cut off $300 a month. And if you're one person convicted and you have another person that lives with you and you have a child, so you're like a couple or two adults and a child, you are cut off $100 a month. If you're two persons that are both convicted and you have a dependent child, so you and the other person in your family unit, you were found guilty of fraud, but you have a child, they're going to take away $200 a month. How they come up with these random numbers, I'm not sure, but they seem to have this kind of policy idea behind it that they're not going to penalize as much persons that have dependent children. Yeah.
Is that a penalty or is it a recovery? Both.
No, that's a penalty. The recovery is going to be in your probation order. The judge is going to say you're going to pay restitution. So that's going to be taken off your check, and it's going to be completely separate. It's going to be a sanction under the Act, but it's going to be very separate from what you have to pay to the ministry under a criminal court conviction, probation, whatever. So most lawyers aren't really alive to this legislation, so I would think a criminal lawyer is not going to make submissions to the judge that are going to go something like, well, listen, this person's family check is $1,100 a month. They're going to be penalized here, $200 a month. So this is how much they have left. The restitution should take that into consideration. So I think that's where you guys can probably be helpful, because the lawyer's not going to have an idea what the consequences are going to be at the administrative level. Like, the person's going to be hit all ways here. Anyway, that deals with the criminal code stuff. And then if you're convicted of an offense that's not under the criminal code, then in that case, you have to turn to the regulation again. And they tell you about the disqualifications. Now, which section of the regulation is that? I think that's section 36 of the regulation. And if you're a family unit of one person and you're found guilty of the of this offense, then they tell you you're disqualified for 12 months for first conviction, 24 months after for the second, for life after the third. So it means these little deductions are going to come off for your life. And the deductions are written in Section 36. So if you're convicted of an offense, not a criminal code offense, but an offense under the Act, and the amounts of money are exactly the same. They treat you exactly the same way. And that's how long your penalty is going to be. It's the same thing under the Disability Act. So you could probably cross-reference Section 15.2 of the Act with Section 36 of the regulations, which essentially tells you if you're more than one person in your family, how much money you're going to be deducted and for how long.